Now, we have some handouts, if you prefer them, if you would like to get one online. We can send it to you online, but we have them in person where you can fill it out and kind of stay along with us in the message today. So we're going to stay in Galatians chapter 3 in our Galatians series, and we're talking about living by faith. Living by faith. Live by faith. Everybody say live by faith. Turn to somebody next to you real nice and smile at them and say, you should live by faith, not by your feelings. Hallelujah. And turn to someone else next to you and smile at them real nice and say, you should live by faith and not by your flesh. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to talk about the living by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? And the answer is hearing of faith. And verse number 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? And the answer is the hearing of faith. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, curses everyone that who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Verse 11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Everybody say that with me. The just shall live by faith. So the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being become a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Live by faith. So you may ask the question, why faith? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. So the message of faith in the gospel in the finished works of Jesus is the power of God. Some people say, I need more power. Well, you need more gospel, because when you get the gospel, you have the power. He says it's the power of God to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the message, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Everybody say, the just shall live by faith. So, you know, we always say, you know, you have a car, you should clean it, right? But you must put gas in it if you want to drive it very far. So just like a Christian, you can live by your feelings if you want to, but it says the just shall live by what? That means that's how you're supposed to live. That's how you are to live, which is by faith. And, of course, in Galatians 3:11, we just read it, but we'll read it again. Galatians 3:11, it says, but no one is justified in the sight of God, For it is evident, the just shall live by faith. Everybody say it with me. The just shall live by faith. Now look at Hebrews. Now here's a third example in the New Testament. A third example in the New Testament. It says, Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. So how are you living? The just shall live by faith. But everyone, if anyone draws back from what? Living by faith, my soul, meaning God, will not have no pleasure in them, in him. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Bible tells us, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So in other words, we're supposed to live by our faith. Our faith in God, our faith in the Word, our faith in the finished works of Jesus, and not by our sight, or Amplified says, our physical senses, or how things appear and feel in the natural. So if you live by faith, you can't live like everybody else, going by what they see and what they feel. You have to live by what God's Word says. You have to live by what God's Word has promised. We live by faith. Live by faith. We're supposed to live by faith. Now, I know I don't have the scripture listed out here, but what is faith? Why is faith so important? The Bible says that now faith, in Hebrews 11:1, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, we're supposed to be living by what we believe, not what we see or feel. What we believe is what God's Word says. We constrain our lives according to what the Word says and not what we see. We live by faith. We live by faith. Why faith? Faith is how our Father functions. He's a faith God. Faith cranks God's tractor. Faith is what pleases God. Faith is how he's a faith God. You read Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2. You see 11 times in Genesis chapter 1, God said. He said, let there be light. He said, let this. He said, do this. He said, let there be this. And then he saw it. He lived by his faith. In other words, it wasn't seen in the natural until God said it. So in other words, we have to live by that. We have to live by what, by saying it first and then seeing it. Some people see it and say what they see instead of saying what they want to see. Faith is how our Father functions. Number two, faith is what pleases our Father God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Oh, God's pleased by me coming to church. Without faith, he didn't say he's pleased by you coming to church. Thank God you're in church. But he's not pleased by you coming to church. He's pleased by your faith. Amen. Without what? Faith. You can even take everything after impossible. Without faith, it's impossible. Can I get a new house? Without faith, it's impossible. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that what? He is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So God's a rewarder. He's not a robber. He's not trying to take stuff from you. He's trying to get things to you. He's a good, good father. See, Father God is not pleased when we're not receiving. Everything we need, he's already provided. Everything you desire, he's already created it. But it's not seen, and it's not yet manifested. But how do we get it out of the unseen realm, and how do we get it to manifest in the seen realm? Faith, F-A-I-T-H. So, but he's not pleased when we're not receiving, and so we're not receiving, then we have to, we stop believing. 1 John 5:4 says, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Everybody say, through our faith. So faith, our faith level determines our victory level. Second thing God is not pleased with is he's not pleased when we're not overcoming. Overcoming what, Pastor? Well, you overcoming a sin that's hindering you. Perhaps it's a lie that the enemy's told you and that you're twisted up or deceived about. So there's usually three big deals that the enemy just kind of puts into your life. It's the sin, he tempts you with that, so you trip up, you fall. Or it's a lie that he's told you so that you don't believe the truth. And then it may be a wound. That means somebody's hit you or hurt you sometime and you're still nursing that wound. You're cursing that wound. You're rehearsing that wound. So it's either a sin, a lie, or a wound that you're trapped or struggling by that you need to overcome. You need to get over that. And the Father God is not pleased when you're not overcoming. Let's just say something simple. Worry, fear, frustration. Maybe it's anger. You're always mad, smoldering. You're walking around like a ticking time bomb. Maybe it's aughts. You have things that you harbor in your heart against people and you can't let it go. Well, God wants you to overcome those things. Well, see, God is not pleased when you're not overcoming. Amen. Can everybody say amen? Amen? So faith gives us access to what grace has given. So we say it this way. Grace makes, faith takes. So God, by his grace, he made salvation available. He made healing available. He made deliverance available. He made prosperity available. So he made those things available, but it's your faith that takes those things that God has made available. So we say grace makes, everybody say it with me, grace makes, faith takes. So faith gives us access to what God has given by grace. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace you have been saved. What saved you? Because I got a merit badge and I showed up with God and said, hey, God, look at me. I'm a goody two shoes. We good to go, right? I'm saved, right? I'm a child of God, right? No. By grace. None of us in a righteous state, in our old nature, our righteousness was as filthy rags. None of us can say, we deserve this. None of us can walk up to God and say, I deserve to be healed. Because we can't earn it. We can't merit a healing. None of us can show up and say, I earn this deliverance, this breakthrough. You better give it to me, God. No, he said, by grace you have been saved. Through what? Through faith. And the faith that you have is not even of yourselves. It's God's given his faith to you so you can receive what he's already provided. Amen. And not out of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at Romans 4:16. Therefore, inheriting the promise is an outcome of faith. Inherit the promise. Now, did you know you have a promise to inherit? Now, how many promises? Y'all give me some feedback. How many promises do you think there are for you to inherit right now? Give me a number. Somebody. Eight. Okay. Somebody. 15, 36. Okay, I got 8, 15, 36. How about 3,000 plus? Let me ask you a question. If you got 3,000 plus promises written in the articles of a covenant or a contract from God through the Lord Jesus Christ for you personally to inherit it, are you just going to sit there? Are you just going to stand there and say, he said inheriting the promise is an outcome of faith and depends entirely on what? On faith. Look at what the scripture says. It depends entirely on what? Faith. So why do I need to have faith? Because if I'm going to get 3,000 exceeding precious promises that have already been provided for me through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension, and by his shed blood on the mercy seat, and he says, this is what you have, this is what you can inherit, you have inherited, because you don't have to wait for somebody to die, because Jesus already died. He's already been died and raised from the dead. So you have a covenant with God. You have an inheritance from your heavenly Father. Jesus said, all things that the Father has are mine. I'm going to take what's mine and give it or transfer it or translate it to you for your personal victory. So everything you need has already been provided. But what were the Galatians doing? They were going back trying to work for it. Let me go back and work for my salvation. Let me go back and work for my healing. Let me go back and work for my prosperity. That doesn't mean work is not bad, but you work because you have been saved. You work and worship God because you are healed. You're not trying to get it. Jesus already got it for you. You can't earn prosperity. So you say, thank you, Lord, that you blessed me with increase, abundance, prosperity in the name of Jesus to the glory of God. So now I'll go to work and you'll bless the work of my hands. So inheriting the promise is an outcome of faith and depends higher on faith in order that it be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and the inheritance of the law, but those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. We said it before, faith is the greatest activator. Love is the greatest motivator, but faith is the greatest activator of our covenant of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by faith we receive and take delivery of the promises of God and the promises of God, provisions of God that he's given to us as his children. Everybody say, I'm a child of God, and I'm an heir of God, and I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now, what does joint heir mean? Let's just say us four, I'm going to stand over here, us four down this row. The four of us inherit a farm. So some people think it this way. You take the farm and you cut it up in four slices. That's not what joint heir means. See, when you cut it up in slices, that means we all got a fourth of that whole farm. We all own a fourth of it. But when we're a joint heir, that farm, all four of us own the whole farm. So we're a joint heir with Jesus. That means everything Jesus has, I have. Everything Jesus has inherited from the Father, I have it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So our faith must continue to grow and develop. And we'll see, when our faith grows and develops, three things occur. Number one, Satan's dominion over us wanes. Now, it's sad to say so many Christians are being beaten down by the devil. He rings their doorbell and bops them in the head every day. Good morning. Here's your morning beat down. Here I come. Number two, circumstances become less formidable. Have you ever seen people that they, when they get into a financial pinch or get into a family crisis, it's always drama and trauma. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? You know, you figure after being in Christ after 10 years, 20 years, you tend to get more proficient at seeing this thing coming. And before it shows up at your doorstep, you already start rejoicing by faith. This is another opportunity for God to get the glory in my life. This is another opportunity for God to prove his word true on my behalf. This is another opportunity for God to use my faith to give him the glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Circumstances become less formidable. And then number three, fear is destroyed. Now, there's a whole bunch of fears. They always say that every child that's born is born with two inherent fears: fear of loud noises, fear of falling. But then the rest of them you learn. And so you have to unlearn fear of running out of money. Where'd you get that from? You had to learn it somewhere. Fear of failure. Fear of the future. Fear of tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. So faith is like money or currency in the kingdom of God. Everything we need has already been provided and promised for us. And so we shouldn't lack for anything, and we should appropriate and assimilate things that we need into our life experience by faith. Because the just shall live by faith. We're not supposed to live by our bank account or our credit cards or our credit worthiness. We live by the currency of the kingdom, which is faith. This is how we make transactions and we transfer stuff that's unseen and not yet manifested from that unseen realm that really exists into this natural, material, tangible realm where it does exist. Somebody said, glory to God. When I was in the military, a good friend of mine was believing God. He had missed his promotion, didn't make his promotion to major. Everybody's telling him, you ain't going to do it. You might as well get out of the Army now. You ain't going to make it. So we're getting each other pumped up by faith. So he came, knocked on our door one time. I said, "Hey, what you doing, brother?" "Yeah." He said, "I thank God." I said, What you got on there?" And so underneath his captain bars, he had major insignia, epaulets. And he had his jacket on, you know, because I can see his captain bars on top. His class A's, and then, of course, underneath, he had pinned on major. He said, "I believe I received my promotion to major." He was operating by faith. It hadn't happened yet. He didn't see it yet, but with the eye of faith, and he believed it and received it, and he thanked God for it, and he just wanted to let me know that I'm standing in faith. I said, "I'm in agreement." And so the next promotion board came along. He got his promotion. Somebody say, glory to God. Somebody say, hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. And that happened to me when I was working in the restaurant business. My boss would come in and say, "What you doing?" He said, "I'm working on the next level. started as assistant manager. I said, I'm working on becoming general manager. First week out of training, I'm out there wiping tables. Once I got the manager job, a few months later, he walks in the first week or first 10 days or something like that. He said, what you doing? I said, I'm working on becoming a training manager. You just got promoted to general manager. Now I'm working on a training manager. Your faith level determines your victory level. From faith to faith, your faith should be growing. Listen to me very closely. If your faith is not growing, you should be really concerned. You should be really concerned if your faith is not growing. So I went from that, and it was only a few months. It took me less time to go from GM to training manager than from assistant manager to general manager. The training manager, the district manager, the regional manager came in. What you doing? I'm working on becoming a multi-unit manager. Let me ask you, are you living by faith? Has your faith stopped growing and going to the next level? If it has, you should be really concerned. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's test our faith as we close up and close out this. Y'all getting something out of this today? So the Bible tells us we are to test ourselves and see if our faith is genuine. 2 Corinthians 13:5-6 says, examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine. So when's the last time you've examined yourself? Now, I'm not going to examine you. You got to examine yourself. He says, test yourselves. Everybody say, test yourself. Look at somebody next to you and say, when's the last time you tested yourself? Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you failed the test of genuine faith. As you test yourselves. Now this is the Bible. As you test yourselves, I hope you'll recognize that we have not failed the test of apostolic ministry. Now, the faith test parameters, we just use F-A-I-T-H as an acrostic to really bear out the different points of faith. So is my faith functioning in this regard or in this manner? So let's go. F, focus continually on God's promises. Now, here's what happens right up at the beginning. People say, Pastor, will you believe with me for this? You pray, and then they don't focus on the promises. What they focus on? They focus on the problem. They focus on the pain. Fainting and quitting occurs when our focus is lost. Natural reasoning will take away your focus and take you out of faith. So when you constantly look at what you see and feel, well, I don't have money. I don't have the money. The money's not there. Well, it's due tomorrow. It's due tomorrow. It's due this week. It's due this month. It's not there. Oh, we got to do this. You know, I feel horrible about this. And you run it off. If you're focusing on the problem, your faith is not focused on the promised. Did you hear what I just said? If you're focused on the problem, then your faith is not focused on the promise. Now, focus equals clear vision. In other words, you're supposed to see yourself healed, see yourself blessed, see the promise coming to pass in your life. Oh, this is good stuff today. You got to see the promise coming to pass in your life. You got to see yourself rising up. If you're not focused on the promise, you're probably blurry and blunt with bludgeoned with the problem. You get beat up with the problem. Broken focus is number one why many fail the test of faith. Broken focus. What are you seeing? What are you saying, brother or sister? I don't know. This problem, just, you know, the devil's kicking my behind. I can't stand this stuff. This stuff is killing me. Well, you just lost your focus. Hallelujah. Broken focus is the number one reason why many people fail the test of faith. They succumb to the temptation while the process of receiving the end of their faith. So you got to stay focused on what God has said. You have to stay focused on what God's word promises. How you doing, brother? You walking with a gimp? According to the word of God, I'm well. Amen. 1 Peter 2:24 is pulsating through every fiber of my being, bringing healing and health. Praise God. By his stripes, I was healed. If I was healed, then I am healed. I am healed right now. Well, it don't look like healed. Well, according to the word of God, I'm healed. Amen. No, you don't look healed. You don't even feel healed, do you? No, according to the word of God, amen, I am healed. I am whole, every whit whole. Every fiber of my being is covered by the healing power of God. Praise God. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. So some people don't know how to stay focused. They get distracted so much. Oh, 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 ouch. Because the devil, all has to do is say, look at that, feel that, see that, not focused. And then you broke focus. Number two, ask. Everybody say ask. If you ask not, you get not. Ask God for the things you want and need, then believe that when you have them. In other words, when you pray, when you believe that you receive what you've asked for. Mark 11, 22, 23, one of some of the most powerful verses and principles of the law of faith. Hallelujah. For assuredly I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says will come to be done, and he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now let's break that down. Verse 23 is about saying. Verse 24 is about praying. Verse 23 is about saying. What he said, whosoever shall say. He didn't say whosoever shall have $1 million in the bank, whoever's black, whoever's white, whoever's Indian, whoever's Mexican, whoever's Hispanic, Latino. Praise God. He said whosoever. I'm a whosoever. Everybody say I'm a whosoever. He said I'm a whosoever. If you're a whosoever, then you can have whatsoever you say. Now, most people are saying what they have instead of having what they say. Now, some of y'all are going to get that at 12 o'clock tonight and go, I got that. I got it. I got it. No. See, he said you gotta say what you want to see instead of saying what you see. He said whoever says to the mountain. Now, he didn't say whoever talks about the mountain. He said talk to the mountain. A mountain is something big, large, seemingly impossible, irremovable. When's the last time you said something to your mountain? So in other words, my brother, my sister, the mountain needs to hear your voice. Not your pastor's voice, not your friend's voice, not Pookie and Ray Ray and them voice. No, your voice. Your voice is your address in the spirit. It's got to hear your voice. Amen. I was having some challenges, a little challenges with my blood pressure last week. And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit said, speak to your blood pressure. Now, I was fine with my diastolic and my pulse, but my systolic was acting like it was going to go up. I knew it, but the Holy Ghost knows it. I said, okay, Lord, Holy Spirit, what do I do? He said, speak to that blood pressure. He said, speak to your mountain. Blood pressure, come down. Talk to it. And don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things that you say shall come to pass. You will have what you say. He didn't say you have what your mama says, what your daddy says, what your cousin says, what your friends say. He said you have what you say. So what you say is what you get, and what you've got is what you've been saying. Many people don't ask. Their faith is not strong enough to move their mouth. So it will never be strong enough to move your mountain. Well, Lord, I'm going to keep that. I'm going to keep that pain. I'm going to keep that problem. I'm going to keep that predicament. Now ask. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So I spoke to my blood pressure. I said, blood pressure, you come down. And I spoke the word. I said, 1 Peter 2:24 pulsates through the fiber of my being. It pumps through my hearts. My heart beats with the rhythm of life. Plaque or any buildup, I command you to be removed. Dissipate, dissolved in Jesus' name. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Somebody say, glory to God. When's the last time you spoke to your feet, to your ears, to your eyes? See, if the problem's in your eyes, you need to speak to your eyes. The problem in your ears, you need to speak to your ears. If there's a problem in your feet, you need to speak to your feet. He said, say to the mountain. If the problem's in your marriage, you need to speak to your marriage. Oh, praise God. I want to meddle there, but praise God. You speak. If your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it'll never be strong enough to move your mountain. You're going to stay with that problem. Then he said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, then you have them. So here it is. King James says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them. That you receive them, you shall have them. So it means, it says this, whatever we desire plus prayer plus believe that you receive them equals you will have them. So some people can't do the simple math. Desire plus prayer plus believe that you receive them. So they said to desire something and they pray about something, but they don't believe that they receive them, and so they don't end up having them. Everybody say desire. Plus prayer, plus believe that you receive them. Now notice the difference between verse 23 and 24. One is believe and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that you those things shall, that you say shall come to pass. One is believe that you receive them. In other words, believe that you take it, believe that you get it, believe that you got it before you get it. Let me make it in 2022 language. You got to believe that you got it before you get it. Then you'll get it. When will I get it, Pastor? You got to believe that you got it before you get it. Then you'll get it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, when you believe that you received, when you prayed, then you'll thank God. Most people worry God, or most people talk ugly and don't thank God. So when Kenneth E. Hagin was in the bed as a 17-year-old teenager, 16 months, partial paralysis, couldn't walk from the down here, had three incurable blood diseases and a deformed heart, and he was given up by medical specialists and doctors to die, and just hold on, boy, you're going to go home soon. And he was like, I can't get this out. He got a hold of Mark 11, 23 and 24. And he said, I got it. I got it. 17-year-olds, he got it. 17 years old, he said, I got it. He said, and so how many of you know the Holy Spirit will help you every step of the way? And once you get the first step, he'll show you the next step. Then he'll show you the next step. So he said, I got it. He said, Lord, I believe I receive my healing of my deformed heart. I have a good heart. He said, Lord, I believe I received my healing of my partial paralysis. Now, he couldn't walk. He was bedfast. He couldn't move anything from the waist down. He said, I believe I received my healing of my partial paralysis. He said, I believe I'm receiving my healing of my 3 incurable blood diseases. His blood was so messed up, it would look orange when it came out. And he said, in case I forgot anything, Lord, I believe I received my healing from the top of my head to the tip of my toes. Now he's sitting there laying. And then he scooted his, he said, the Holy Spirit says, well, if you believed that you received when you prayed, you would thank me for it. He said he wasn't taught this because he was in a Baptist church. He said he was in a Southern Baptist church, and he said they didn't lift in hands. They weren't thanking and praise God publicly. And he said he swung up, sat up, and swung his dead legs over the side of the bed, lifted up both hands, began to thank God. He said within 10 minutes, everybody say 10 minutes, he felt the anointing hit him on the top of his head, and like a warm honey, like warm goo, fell all down, and his pain left his legs, and he felt his legs for the first time, and he said almost 18 months, well, 16 months at that time. And he felt the healing power of God rise up in his body. See, some people want to feel it, but they don't want to faith it first. But he said, the just shall live by faith. Your feelings will follow your faith. Your feelings will follow your faith. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the scripture means that everything that we need has been provided for us in Christ. We can't see those things, but they are there because God's word says they are. Because we what? We believe it. Everything I need. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Okay, Lord, I need deliverance now. Let's just say you addicted. You have a stronghold of alcohol, adultery. Or some people like to smoke a little weed or something like that. No, don't get all nervous in here. I'm not calling anybody out. Well, you know, you don't go to hell for alcohol, but it sure will hinder your walk with Christ. Are you listening to me? So you got to say, okay, Lord, I need to get delivered. Well, deliverance is there in Christ. That's a blessing of Christ. All right, Lord, I need to get delivered. Take this taste for this thing, or this desire from thing out of my system. Amen. Yeah, we could just list out anything like pornography or something like that. Some people have certain other addictions or vices and vexing things that are vexing their spirit. You need to get delivered from that stuff. Somebody say, glory to God. Well, that's part of your blessing. But if you don't ever ask, you never get it. Lord, take this away. Hallelujah. See, when you believe and receive the answer before you see it manifested, you're appropriating God's word by faith. Why? Because you blessed me with every spiritual. Lord, I'm not supposed to be struggling on this job. Deliver me from the struggles and the stagnancy that I'm in right now. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Number three. Let me hurry. Imagine God's promises coming to pass in your life. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, Lord, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and rest your hopes fully upon the grace that is be brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, everybody say, gird up the loins. Which loins? The loins of your mind. That means your mind, your imagination has reproductive capacity. Are you imagining yourself broke, sick, busted, disgusted? Are you imagining yourself healed? Do you see yourself healed? Do you see yourself well? Do you see yourself prosperous? Do you see yourself with a heavenly marriage? Do you see yourself with a heavenly, peaceful home? You got to work on your imaginations. The Bible says we are to cast down imagination, evil imaginations. Because, see, our thoughts are governed by and affected by observation, association, and teaching. So that means you have to stay away from the people who push doubt into you or talk you into fear and unbelief. Because people will tell you, child, girl, man, you better watch out. That ain't never going to happen. Hallelujah. So you must enjoy, make sure you enjoy the fellowship of those who contribute and add value to your faith. The big question is this, at this step of imagination, is this, are you meditating or are you medicating? Are you medicating or are you meditating? Too often Christians medicate on pain medicine and escapism activities. I just need to get away from my pain. I want to get away from my problem. I want to get away from my predicament. I want to get away from my peril. I want to get away. 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 I want to anesthetize the pain. I want to relieve the pain, not deal with it. So here's what happens. Escapism activities like binge watching TV, movies. People get lost in Netflix and Hulu and Prime video, you know, video series and just go over and over again. Why? What are they doing? Everybody say medicating. They're not meditating. They're not meditating. They're medicating. What about video games and social media? Overindulgence. Why? Because that's a false sense of reality. That's a false reality over there. That's escaping from what and dealing with what you're really dealing with. And then the improper or immoral activities. People get into bad stuff or evil stuff. But Joshua 1 and 8, the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. But thou shall meditate in it. Everybody say meditate in it. Meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do what is written according to that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way, your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So this book of the law shall not depart from where? Your what? Where? Your mouth. So the word of God in your mouth is like mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. So you need to resuscitate yourself through the word of God. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. Like that one minister's wife, he was talking and complaining and fussing, and she put some scriptures, cut it up with pieces of paper, and put it in his coffee. And he got his coffee, and he was drinking his coffee, and he spit out. What's that? He said, "You got to get the word in your mouth." He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of where? Your mouth." So if you're talking. If you're talking other things than the word, if you're talking your worries and not the word has gone out of your mouth. If you're talking your woes, the word has gone out of your mouth. Meditation leads to revelation, which leads to results. You must guard against every evil thought that comes in our minds that tries to make us doubt God's word. We're almost done. Thank God continually for that the promises of God are working in your life 24/7. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The word thanks here is the same Greek meaning as the word to confess or acknowledge. Your faith lives and flourishes in the mouth that is continually filled with praise. The praise is private, but must not stay that way. In other words, if you believe that you receive when you prayed or spoken, you will thank him for it. You keep that switch on. Now, if Brother Steve back there turned off the lights, the switch would be off. Your faith switch has to be on, and you can see the light of your faith switch on through your praise. And then lastly, number five, hold fast to the confession of your faith, of God's word. Hold fast to your confession of God's word. Hebrews 4:14, seeing that you have a great high priest that has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Everybody say, hold fast. held fast your confession. That means hold it, get a grip on your lip, and don't let it slip. Everybody knows this phrase, loose lips sink ships. Your confession is your official profession about your situation or circumstances that you're dealing with. What are you saying about that? What you're saying is what you're getting. And what you've been getting is what you've been saying. You'll never rise above the level of your confession. At every pay raise I got in that restaurant job, I had to say it before I saw it, before I saw it. I had to confess it before I possessed it. Hallelujah. Your faith will never rise above your level of confessions. What you confess, you will eventually possess. But no one is justified in the law of inside of God, for it is evident the just shall live by faith. Everybody say, live by faith. So would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Hallelujah for the opportunity to hear his word. Thank you.